Your favourite film was Star Trek.
Yeah.
Which Star Trek was that?
The one where he spoke. Guys, it's Mike here, and welcome back to Watcher. I'm here with...
You're with Nath.
And just the two of us this episode, and we'll be delving into the news, the comics, the TVs, and the movies, all here in an episode of Watcher Podcast.
Woo!
So Dean and Em can't be with us tonight, so...
Can you hear the music, actually? Can you hear the music playing right now? It's just the two of us. It's very romantic. supposed to be, but...
No, look, we can make it if we try. It's all there. But enough about this. Let us jump straight into the news.
Let's kick off with the unfortunate passing of Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
Who died from a complication to from heart failure.
Mm.
83 years old. So
it's a good innings. It's a good innings.
Not too bad. He lived long and prosper. That's for sure.
He did prosper.
Yes, and lived long. It was interesting that. William Shatner's received a fairly large backlash from the...
Not being able to make the funeral.
Yeah, not being able to make the funeral. But he was very open about the fact that he had already committed to a... it was a Red Cross function on the other side of the country. And that people had paid a lot of money per table to actually, you know, to donate to Red Cross anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't remember who it was. Somebody else came out and said, you know, don't be upset with, you know, William Shatner, because, you know, Leonard would have totally understood, you know, the situation.
And look, you know, he did a thing, I think it was the day after, I think, where he was going to have it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just everyone talking about Leonard and stuff, which, you know, I thought was a great tribute.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but I think he dealt with it, you know, as best as he could, considering he couldn't be at the actual funeral itself. And also great that, you know, the Baptist church couldn't find the actual...
that was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, good work, guys. And you know what? So glad you have no idea. In so many ways. They have no clue whatsoever.
Yes, clueless.
But, look, you know, when it comes to, you know, favourites with Leonard... What would be yours?
You know what? There is lots of different... There's lots of stages in my life where he's been present. Mm. So, you know, Star Trek is obviously what he's known for. So I remember growing up on the original Star Trek.
Yep.
I totally loved him as Galvatron in the Transformers movie.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Which was pretty rad. Then he... He made a return as a villain slash friend in, you know, he was like the frenemy in Fringe.
He
played William Bell in The Fringe, and he was great in that. And then once again, he sort of floated back into my life when he did the films, the rebooted films of Star Trek.
Yeah.
So he's been in lots of different, you know, elements. Oh, and the one that I neglect is he was in the he played Paris in the original Mission Impossible series.
Oh, right, okay.
And I you know, we are, there's no secret, you know, on this show. If you haven't been listening to this show, then, you know, then there's no secret that I love a good Mission Impossible.
Yes,
yes, because it's always running. So, those will be, you know, it's hard to pinpoint for me one in particular, but they would be kind of the standout for me. What about you, Mike?
Star Trek,
yep. Which movie do you think it was the best?
The one where he was Spock. my favourite.
The one where he's Spock. That was a good movie, that one, where he was Spock.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, I think it was some of his finest work, and as Spock.
Yes.
It was great.
Well, it was interesting, very quickly, it was interesting that he brought out a book sort of towards the end of the first movie or something or other, which was called I Am Not Spock. And then later, you know, obviously his career had sort of tanked a little bit. And so he decided to bring out another book called I Am Spock, and his career sort of took off after that. So I think you either embrace the character that everybody... I think once you embrace,
Adam West, another great example.
Yeah, with Batman.
Mm.
Mark Hamill with Luke Skywalker. Yeah. You know, there was a time when he didn't want to be Luke, known as Luke Skywalker anymore, and as soon as he embraced that, I mean, but he's also done other things like, you know, Joker and...
Mm.
You know, Trickster and all that sort of stuff. So,
and a great Joker, still one of the best Joker voices ever.
The best.
Mm.
There is no other. There is no other. So, yeah, so that's the unfortunate passing of Leonard Nimoy. Mike, what have you got?
Well, there was a bit of a trailer that came out, I think, today.
Oh, that boring one called Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Age of Voltron.
Age of Voltron. No, it really, no, we joke. We kid. Before you start sending us hate tweets... this is rad.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
A lot of little teasers in there as well. So,
really,
really cool stuff. Like we saw the blades coming out. I mean, a bit of Black Panther action, I'm thinking there.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression too. I mean, we've watched it separately, so we didn't watch it together. So, yeah, I mean, everything that you talked about with the blades and obviously seeing Vision at the end.
Yep. Which, like you were saying, that's the first that pretty much we've seen of Vision.
Yeah. But we haven't actually seen, you know, a real visual confirmation of him in the film. And I think that's really exciting.
And even now, I mean, it's just his eyes, which, you know, works. Because you think about it, Vision, eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's you are amazing.
I'm Sam Kikovich.
You should really do trailers. You should.
I will do trailers.
You should make trailers.
In a world, that's how you got to start it.
Yeah,
every time.
Yeah, I think that guy's passed away now. The one that used to do that.
No longer in a world.
Yeah,
well, a different world.
I remember hearing an interview with him and on the radio, and this is quite a while ago, and anyway, the guys on the radio station, they gave him a whole bunch of different words that they wanted him to do a trailer for, because they sort of said, you know, is there anything that you haven't done? And he said, no, there's not. And so they said, you know, do you think that with all your experience now doing voiceovers for trailers that you would be able just to make up a trailer with a whole bunch of different words? And he did. I remember there was filing cabinet was in there. There was sausage, and there was... What was the other one? Dirty Sneaker or something or other. Nice. They weave these really obscure... There was a whole bunch of others, but those are the ones that I remember. And he's like, in a world with dirty sneakers, you know, it was...
you got to the soul of it.
But by the end of that trailer, if I can find it, we'll put it up on the watch page. By the end of that trailer, I was hooked. I was ready to go watch that film. It sounded better than any Michael Bay film, that's for sure.
Especially when it's Transformers 3.
Well, or 4.
Mm.
With Mark Wahlberg, which they're actually doing a fight.
Oh, man. I didn't even watch 4.
Yep. Very, very quickly before we move on. One of the other things that came out today for us while we were recording is the first image of Battle Cat for the new Masters of the Universe.
Mm.
Now, we haven't seen anything for this other than this is what the logo is going to look like, which looks very Masters, very Masters of the Universe. But other than that, there hasn't been really sort of a lot that's going on. They haven't even announced who He-Man is, let alone anything else.
Not Dolph Lundgren.
But apparently...
Does he have a small part?
The rumor is that he will play...
Skeletor.
He will play King He-Man.
King He-Man.
Which is the King of Eternia before... Randor takes over, King Randor.
Oh, okay.
Which is you know, He-Man lore.
Mm.
So you know, this sort of insinuation that he could be playing King He-Man, and that would make sense because he wouldn't be in it for a long time.
Mm. As long as they've got some of the music.
They would have to.
Yeah,
they would have to. And so Prince Adam wears his pink and purple
Yeah.
And maybe sings "Hey, What's Going On" by Four Non Blondes. But yeah, that and Battlecat looks great.
Yeah,
really cool. Fantastic. And that's just that's obviously some sort of pre-production work that they're already doing with CG, mm-hmm. Which obviously they need to do now.
Yep.
But if that's any indicator of what's, you know, what's coming ahead, I'm so excited about this. So excited.
Hopefully they do live up to the hype.
Yes.
And it looks really good.
No Grendel. We don't want any Grendel from the original. No
keys. Actually, I was going to ask, did you see the Power Rangers, R-rated trailer?
Yes. Well, they actually brought out they brought out two variations. So there was the Not For Safe Work.
Mm-hmm.
Not Safe For Work. Not For Safe Work.
Not For Safe Work.
Yep.
And you heard it here first.
Yep, you heard it first. and then there was just a safe one as well. The language was different.
Right.
That was predominantly the difference. But man, that was amazing.
Mm.
That was amazing.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. The Green Ranger's come out. I mean, he's the first Green Ranger. I can't remember his name. I'll be chastised for this for sure. But yeah, he came out and he wasn't very happy about it. He thought it was a bad idea. But I kind of dug it. I like the, you know, dystopian kind of feel to it, and you know, that they were the ones that created the problems because of what they did, and you know, all that sort of stuff. Van Der Beek played his part for sure. He was rocking. I actually, to be honest, at first I didn't recognize him until, you know, the camera sort of changed angles and I was like, is that Dawson?
Yeah,
it's Dawson.
They've got to get him and Dawson's dad back together.
He wasn't crying.
No, he wasn't crying,
which is good.
It's a shame.
I was happy.
It's a shame that couldn't have been the last scene. Where, like, you know, just, you know,
no.
Nah.
They just embraced and cried. Yeah. As Dawson's dad dies
eating ice cream. But I digress. Let's move on out to the next segment, which I'm going to go with. Let's have a bit of what you're watching. You go first.
All right.
I'm just drinking this delicious hot chocolate.
Yes, we are. It's very cold. It's very cold for us. So we shouldn't really complain about the cold because clearly we're not in New York and it's -1.
Summer just ended. Did it begin?
Yeah. Summer days
in Melbourne, Australia.
Summer days have drifted away.
Big time.
I saw a great new, and it was one of these TV shows that you didn't really hear a lot about.
Mm.
But it is gold, and it's called The Last Man on Earth. And it stars, he's from SNL, Will Fort. Will
Fort. Oh, okay.
And anyway, he is literally the last man on Earth. He has, well, from what we've seen, so there's two episodes so far.
Mm.
They don't go for very long. They're it's kind of a half an hour show.
Yep.
And he is literally the last man on Earth, and it's a comedy. And so he is driving around all over America looking for other people, cannot find anybody. But as he goes along, he leaves messages to say, you know, I will be here and, you know, I will be there. And he ends up in Texas anyway. Mm-hmm. Tucson. And when he goes back to Tucson, when he finally finishes his, you know, round trip of America, it's been like 2 years since the actual virus. That's all they refer to it as, is the virus. You never once see zombies. You never see once see bodies or anything like that. It's just empty. Everything is empty. Yeah, it's just it's cleared everybody out. And he gets to do all the cool stuff. So when he comes back from his round trip of America, he starts bringing in stuff from the RV that he's been driving around. So he brings. So he hangs. He goes back to his apartment, which is just a dump. Mm-hmm. He ends up finding a really well-to-do area and moves into a big mansion, and he brings out paintings from, you know, museums, and Michael Jordan's 23 jersey that he wore, and it's just amazing some of the stuff that he brings in. And he starts just hanging them up on the walls, and he's got this whole museum of different eclectic things in there. And but then he decides, oh, I'm gonna, you know, he wants to do some bowling in the street. And so he starts bowling in the street. Yeah, as you do, because he can.
Mm.
And he starts with bottles, and then he works his way up to fish tanks. You know, so he gets these big human, and there's no fish because all the animals are dead too. And he gets these big fish tanks, and with that he lines them all up, and you know, starts bowling the fish tanks.
What's he throwing down the bowl?
What's that?
What's he bowling?
Well, he's using bowling balls to begin with.
Oh, right.
But then he starts using a car against another car. Like, he bowls the car down a hill to hit another car. So he gets to do all these amazing things. You know, he goes into the... just to give you one instance, he goes into a supermarket and, you know, he smashes the front door of the supermarket, goes in, and he gets the trolley to pull all his food in, sees this really nice big stack of cans... just turns around and just smashes straight into the cans.
Can't resist.
You've got to. That would be something that I would so do. So anyway, what happens is that he finds another person. And they've been following his signs all along. And it turns out to be... what's her name? Kristen Schaal. She was in... she played the crazy fan in Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
she
yeah,
was
yeah.
also the Nutter Page in 30 Rock as well.
Okay.
So so she's in it, and she's like this straight laced, you know, play by the rules type thing, and she drives him nuts. She wants to talk about her feelings. She wants to, you know, he has to stop at a stop sign. and he's like, why would I be stopping and stop? There is no other cars. Well, it's rules. If we don't have rules, then we're, you know, what society are we going to be in the future? So that's she's kind of, she plays this role really well. You know, that's the kind of the role that I can see that she was written for this role.
Mm.
But yeah, so far two episodes have come out, and it's great, and it's fun, and it's you know, it's off the wall. One of the great things about this is that they get to do all the things that we wish that we were able to do. I hope that in one episode coming up that they actually go into one of those ornaments stores, like a Chinese, you know, like those Chinese vase stores or something or other, and just smash it. I really do.
That's where I'd actually try and find a bull and just have it run through a China store.
Well, there's no animals. They're dead. So, which is the unfortunate part.
Find a bull costume.
I'm sure it's possible, but yeah, there's lots of odes to like
dystopian. Is there any food left?
Yeah, there's all this canned food. See,
so there you go.
See,
you have some canned cow.
He was.
You throw that into the China shop, then bam,
done. Yeah, it's a bull in a China shop.
Right.
Yeah.
Very small bull and in parts.
Yeah, but. Yeah, definitely. But there's a lot of odes to your dystopian films like that. And they run with this really long joke to do with Castaway with Tom Hanks and the as if you'd ever have a ball and talk to Wilson, and what transpires from that is just crazy. Absolutely, it takes Wilson to a whole new level, or should I say Wilson's? Yes, Wilson's. So it's called The Last Man on Earth, and it's a weekly comedy, and it's a riot. It's great fun. So yeah, get on it.
Nice. Well, I suppose I finished up watching Breaking Bad, so now I've seen the ending. And you know what? Really good, and it's kind of funny. I mean, I've pretty much watched this over. Let me see. It'll be a. Just over 2 months.
You have binged heavily. Yes. What is it? Six seasons? Five seasons? Well,
five. Yeah.
Five seasons.
Five and a half. Yep. Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. Great. Really, really good. It's amazing how, you know, you kind of think about when it first started and where it ends, where, you know, you had all the sympathy for Walt, and not so much for Jesse. While at the end, you're pretty much rooting for Jesse to get out of there and, you know, find his way, because you know he had a lot of bad stuff happen to him, not just the guy being beaten up all the time, But yeah, a lot of bad stuff. I mean, even in the end, you know, when, you know, the girl he was caring for and you know, the son, you know, she gets shot.
Right.
I mean, spoiler alert, but let's face it, it is a bit old. But yeah, it's a really, really great show. But I'd say it ended the way it had to end. And
I think Vic Sullivan did an awesome job too. I think it was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, sort of ums and ahs about the ending, but I was fine with it.
Mm.
I was fine with the ending.
No, I thought it was really good. And so, of course, Better Call Saul is now happening. So I haven't watched any of that yet, but I'm going to wait, give myself a bit of time, get a few of them collected. And yeah.
We're on to, what are we now? Episode 4.
Mm.
Episode 4 of Better Call Saul. And Mike's in it.
Right.
Mike's in it. So from the beginning. So yeah, you know, it's interesting to go back in time rather than, mind you, very much in the same token as Breaking Bad, we do float backwards and forwards in time.
Right.
When he is Saul, when he isn't Saul. So, you know, Saul is a name. It's not a, you know, it's not the person. So, but yeah, Breaking Bad was great. Well, you know, the one scene that stands out to me in Breaking Bad was the scene where the money in the where they stashed the money in the end, and there was just that big square block of money, and he asked how much was there, and she said, "I don't know, I've lost count."
Yep.
No idea how much money was there.
Be nice to have.
And then that guy lays on it.
Yeah.
You know, just so he could lay. Like doing a money angel type thing on the...
It's like, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, he's probably not going to get a chance to do it again, so, you know, let's do that.
Absolutely.
So, no, really, really good. And just that, well, I'm not sure where you're at with it yourself, but I haven't had a chance to catch up on Flash or Arrow as yet, but it's my next...
Well, Flash, we've got a kind of a hiatus for about a month.
Yeah, I'm reading that.
And
that'll give me a chance.
And you'll be well and truly up to date by then. And Arrow has just started, and we won't sort of see anything for the next couple of weeks. Mm. But where Flash ended was good. Sort of rounded the last arc off.
And just to go, spoiler alert. There is more of Dr. Wells.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, a bit definitely. More going on there.
Definitely there. Yeah, so I feel that the story arc has been, you know, sort of well-rounded there, and they can start the next part.
Mm.
And the next part is where we're going to, and this is not giving anything away, where we're going to really sort of look at the whole Professor Zoom, you know, going back in time type, you know.
Well, I think there's been a lot of talk about Flashpoint becoming a thing.
That's
here.
My theory. Yeah. I put it out there weeks ago, so, you know, I'm sticking to that to
which
that
is
Flashpoint.
Great. I think it's very interesting.
And I think that would be really interesting, because that would definitely change the timeline of Arrow as well.
Mm.
So we would see something major happen with Arrow.
Ooh.
And they've said that. They've
the return
said,
of Black Canary.
Well, they've sort of hinted at that too. So I don't know how that's possible, but it could be this whole Flashpoint situation.
Never know.
But yeah, that's pretty exciting. So both of those are pretty rad. The last, and I've just watched Gotham as well. Mm. Gotham.
Yeah, something else got to watch. Gotham.
Yeah, Gotham. and that's starting to ramp up. Finally, it's taken a while.
I've heard that too.
But it's starting to ramp up, and there was a scene in it just recently, which was an eye opener. And there's a pun for you. So when you see it, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about.
I see.
Yeah. And yeah, you don't even know what I'm talking about, so it's all good. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come back, and that has amazingly started so well. So well, I can't believe how well it has started. The way that they are dealing with the fallout. Are you up to date?
No.
Okay. So the way that they're dealing with the fallout of what happened in the first half of the season is pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool, and dealing with that as not only as a team but as individuals and all that sort of thing. And that is pretty rad. And then you've got Peggy Carter, which has finished its season. So it was very short, very short season. Very, very short. So it's returning. They've said that it's returning mid-year. So it'll be back for the fall season.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's going to get a full pickup or whether they're going to keep it at 10 like they did this time round. Was it 10? Something like that.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to do that or not. But yeah, it's really quite interesting how they've left it. And it's not giving anything away, so it's not... well, you know, it's kind of a spoiler, but it's not. So it's a minor spoiler alert. Mike, would you like to...
Minor spoiler alert!
Yeah, it's kind of lower tone, so it's all right. Yeah, I'm okay with that. We see Zoloff, Han Zoloff, make an appearance, because it's that timeline.
Mm.
So they're really bringing in that whole... you know, beginning of Hydra, and what's going to happen there. So
that's definitely cool. They're very good at kind of putting those little things in there as well, which is really, really nice.
Yeah. So there's been a lot, you know, when it comes to the whole sort of comic book side of things. It's been really, really exciting to see some of those things transpire.
Mm.
What's going to happen from there? I don't know. Mm. You know, it's. I think that's the great thing about it is it keeps us guessing. It was 8 episodes, Peggy Carter.
Okay.
8 episodes. So it's not really a lot.
No.
It's not really a lot.
I didn't realize it had stopped at 8.
Yep. So they're down. They're down for the count for the moment.
There's one that I can catch up on fairly quickly. Then.
8 episodes. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I'll work my way. I'll work my way.
Powers is coming out probably a week from now.
This is the
Brian Michael Bendis Powers series, and we'll be that's coming from PlayStation of all places. It's coming from PlayStation, and it looks good.
And your Daredevil's another one that'll be great.
Daredevil's April, and it's one big binge because it's all coming out all in the one time at the one time. I think that's April 10.
Beautiful.
So get excited for that one.
Awesome. Well, should we jump into reading? Now, of course...
You've got a bucket load there.
I do have a bit.
It's Mike's mini review.
I'll keep it fairly brief, but at least I've read them this time. We're not just going off the covers. But Batman 39...
Whoa, you're coming right out of the gate for one.
Look, 39 was great. I mean... Spoiler alert!
It's all downhill from here, isn't it? After this one?
I mean, this had Batman Endgame Part 5... And just look, the artwork, as always, is great. It's why it's one of my favourite books at the moment.
You got to hand it to them.
Oh, I got to hand it to them. I mean, look, you know, they've made the cut, and I'm really glad what they've done. You know, it's really, really cool. And I mean, I've seen some people say, you know, they kind of felt it a bit disjointed with the backwards and forwards, which I do get because, well. You know, we do have the scene with Alfred, and then the next thing you know, it cuts to another scene. Did you see that?
Cuts both ways.
It does cut way. Both ways. Yeah. You'll love it. It's like a knife. and for that, you know, it does stop the momentum just a little bit, but you know what? Overall, fantastic. The whole Alfred scene is, I think that's the thing that's got everyone right now.
Mm.
And you just want to know what's happening with Alfred, you know. Were they able to save the hand? Were they able to...
Did he get a hook?
Oh.
Maybe it's bionic.
Well, ooh. I think someone mentioned it really quite cool if you could do something where you could just shoot a batarang out of the stump of his hand. But...
He'd have like a He-Man and the Master Universe Hordak.
I mean,
Hordak arm.
The Elfrak. But... The great thing about it is there's a great bunch of just little Easter eggs in here as well. I mean, when you got Joker's, you know, big carnival going down the street, and you know, you kind of got the clown here at the back, which is very similar to the clown from the 89 Batman.
Oh yes,
had the Smilex gas coming out of it. But
and you got the dinosaur, which wasn't Superman that had the T-Rex in his Remember, was it Batman?
I think it was Batman. Batman had the T-Rex,
didn't he? T-Rex
and
yeah, Batman had the T-Rex.
The big coin.
Yeah. So yeah, even the Joker's got his own T-Rex going on.
Yeah, so...
If Batman can have it, then I have to
well.
Well,
he's nabbed all this stuff out of the actual cave when he went after the Joker, so...
Yep.
But yeah, basically it comes down to they're teaming up with a lot of the Rogues Gallery to take down Joker, and pretty much we've got to find out if all this about the Joker that we're hearing right now is true. So it's going to be very, very cool to see where the end of this story takes us, which is apparently going to be changing the whole status quo once...
What do you reckon that is? Because they're saying that it's a big, whatever they're doing, it's a big risk, whatever it is, and people will just be like, this is crazy, and that's what they've gone on the record as saying. Snyder and Capullo have said
time to be speak. Honest, I really don't know. I don't know what to expect. And yeah, I guess we'll sit wait and see, but I love their stuff, and hopefully, you know, it's going to be, you know, really cool and really quite good to read once it comes about. It'd
be great if Batman didn't have any money anymore.
Oh, we'd never know. That could be a thing.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. That's not crazy.
But as what'll happen with the Joker? I mean, is it going to be some kind of finality here? I mean, or is it just going to be, well, you know, he can't die. So.
Okay, here's my theory. This is my theory. I reckon Batman will end up being an agent for the Court of Owls. That's my theory. That's what I reckon. I'm putting it out there. That's crazy. Well, that's a crazy... That just came to me now. That's a crazy theory.
It's owling mad.
It's owling... What a bird brain.
Well, let's move on.
Great segue there for birds.
You see? It was great, wasn't it? Yep. Batman and Robin.
Right.
And I've got to say, 39, Batman and Robin, great little homage to Superman.
Oh, yes. Yeah, great cover.
Yeah, so really, really cool with Damian just, you know, picking up the Batmobile and smacking it down while Alfred's running towards the screen, you know, looking all harassed.
He's got two hands.
He does have two hands. It's clearly not around the same timeline.
Right, obviously not.
But I love the fact that you got Robin still getting scolded by Batman for using his powers. And, you know, he's going, look, what are you doing?
Just stop. Is it any good?
I like it, yeah. We've actually gone, at the end of the story, they've both gone to the JLA Tower.
Right.
And they're going to take on this giant battle, and Damien's coming along because now, well, he can pretty much handle himself. Although Bruce is telling him, you've got to rely on your street smarts. You can't just rely on your powers.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen with them. So he's trying to put that into Damien's head, but... Yep. Whether Damien's going to take that advice is yet to be seen. And whether these powers are permanent as well. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Makes sense.
Green Lantern, New Guardians, number 39. So I think we've only got one or two issues left.
41?
I think it's 41.
41, 42, something like that.
Kyle's taking on Oblivion, which is, of course, you know, his bad version of himself.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we'll see where it ends. I mean, this is how they're going to finish out the story. You know, how's it going to end with Kyle?
Yeah.
You know, I've always liked Kyle as a character. It's pretty much my jumping on point for Green Lantern. And so we'll see where it goes.
Really? That was your jump on? But it was when Kyle took over as the reluctant Green Lantern.
Yeah, it was when, you know, Kyle and Hal kind of came to... Well, I suppose they didn't really. He took off and then... Against that, you know, found Kyle, and I think because of his humour and his graphic design, I think that always kind of attracted me to it.
Especially with his with his constructs, they were so
great.
Comic book esque, weren't they?
Really cool, and I mean, like, you know, just fun stuff. I mean, I think one of the things that always cracked me up was he was doing a lot of doodles in like an art book. And one of them was a picture of, you know, Hal as Parallax with an arrow through his head going, why, Ollie, why? So just that kind of humour I always love. But we'll see where that goes. Now, the last two I've got.
Ooh, I haven't read this.
Ninja Turtles, Mutanimals. Now, Mighty Mutanimals, I used to love those guys. And it was really sad when they all got killed off in the Archie series. They were just all,
It was Archie. He was off. He was jealous. He was jealous.
Gone. Mondo Gecko, definitely my favourite.
Mondo Gecko.
But I want the return of the manta ray, or Ray Fillet.
Ray Fillet.
Which was just a weird name, and I don't know if they went for Ray Fillet, but I think they can't go for that. It sounds too weird. Mm-hmm. But
maybe if he was a lounge singer, Ray Fillet would have been fine. It would have been. He would have been.
I've actually got the figurine where he, if you put him in water, he changes colour.
I don't doubt that you don't.
See,
it's turtles.
I've got Mondo Gecko.
Ray Fillet.
Ray Fillet.
All the way.
Yeah, playing this May. Check it out.
So, is it good?
Early. I mean, I don't know. It's different to what, you know, they were, which naturally it's a different take on them.
Yeah.
But I want to see if any more of the traditional Mutanimals make it into the team or not.
So what's the story about for this well, new mutation?
Ooh, basically.
New mutation.
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure how Mondo Gecko got into it, because it's kind of like it's gone into where, like, you know, you've got all these different characters really being abducted, and, you know, being taken into.
Is it Old Tom?
Old Hob.
Old Hob. Sorry.
Yeah.
Old
Hob.
Yep.
Yeah, so you got Old Hob.
That was a weird name as well.
Slash Mondo Gecko, and, you know, you've got this other, I can't remember his name right now, but other fish dude, but it's not Ray Fillet.
Ray Fillet,
kind of working together, and basically they end up freeing this this other character which has been caught, and I'm trying to think of what his name is, but he's kind of like a, how would you describe him? It's the Mutagen Man.
Mutagen Man,
of course. So yeah, he's,
because remember, he was a fan, and then he got the powers, and he was like a super. It was like Mutagen Man, the powers, and then he fell into the mutagen again. Remember, and he just ended up with like a brain.
Yeah, he did, and
like the brain stem or something or other. And
yeah, well, he actually wanted to be shot. Nerves. He wanted it over.
Oh,
but no, they've taken him with him and saying, you know, they're rescuing him, and that's where it pretty much ends. So right. We've got next month, they're taking on all these null security guys. Mm-hmm. But there's a war going on, as Old Hob says.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll just see.
So is Old Hob running these guys?
He's kind of like the...
he's like Hannibal from the A-Team?
Like, he's got an eye patch. I'm going to say, you know, what's his name?
The governor from Walking Dead?
No, I just can't. Sam Jackson.
Oh, he's like Nick Fury.
Fury. God, why couldn't I think of that name?
I don't know. Maybe you were thinking of Ray Fillet.
Ray Fillet.
Yeah, all the way with Ray Fillet.
Stuck in my head today. Ray Fillet. The latest Turtles, that is my next one to read. But I also noticed that Mutanimals were in here, so I think it's all kind of linked together.
It's all crossover.
It might actually give me a bit more
Maybe you should read that one first.
But cool. I love the cover. But once again, it's Eastman doing the front, so old traditional kind of style turtles being drawn. So
please keep doing that.
Loving that. Keep it coming, Eastman. Love your work. But that is what I've read so far, apart from that last Turtles. But that is my next to read.
Oh, so next episode. We will hear Mike say.
And I haven't had a chance to actually pick up my comics this week, so hopefully. I've got more.
How exciting.
How about yourself?
I've been reading a rad book. When I did the All-Star special,
mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks back, I managed to catch up with artist extraordinaire Trev Wood.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, he's doing this really rad book at the moment.
A lot of his pages are going up really nice.
Yeah, and amazing stuff. And it's very sort of medieval, fantasy-esque type, storyline to it, and the artwork that's sort of coming along with it. And he was looking for, you know, sort of medieval books and whatnot. And I sort of suggested a couple of them to him. But then went home and thought, there's not really a lot that I've really read, you know, that I can think of that would be worthwhile.
Hmm.
And so anyway, I started looking around and I found this really rad series, and it's called Brigada. And Brigada is actually, it's done by, it's a real passion project.
Hmm.
And it's Enrique, Fernandez. Fernandez. Right. Yeah, Eric Fernandez. it is a really, 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 really great book. Mm. So I'm just going to hand it over to Mike and let him sort of flick through it as I sort of give you the lowdown on this book. And it's there's two books. So he brought out the first book in 2011, and book two has just been released. And they're not small by any means. And it's about a veteran captain. His name's Ivro, and he's been recruited to command this this convict squadron of fighters in this big war that's going on. And they're like dwarves. I'd say, it's sort of that inference that they're dwarves. So what happens is while they're fighting in this war, there's this mysterious fog which just sort of appears from out of nowhere and traps them and sends them into this sort of chaotic, strange land that they're not accustomed to.
Mm.
And then from there, they then have to sort of not only work out where they are, try and survive, but also have to work together because they're like a band of misfits.
Right.
And okay. So like he's like this, you know, hard-nosed type, you know, type of, you know, captain. And then you've got this guy who, you know, has some, you know, I don't want to go into too much information about the characters, but the artwork is just sublime. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really different from what you would expect from this type of series. There is definitely a passionate and a love for this subject matter too. So you can see influence of Tolkien weaved within it, and a lot of other things. You know, I mean, there's even little bits of Game of Thrones that I've sort of seen in there, which I kind of dug, but. Brigada is just it's just beautiful. It really is lovely, lovely artwork, lovely storyboard, you know, lovely storyboarding and paneling involved. Yeah. And it's big, you know, it is a big. I mean, I read one and two back to back, it's about 105 pages, so wow. They're not short by any means. You can pick it up actually off his site, which is EnriqueFernandez.com.
Yep.
You can actually buy the books there, and you can either get them as a digital copy, a USB copy, which is interesting, or you can actually get them as in book format. I've got it in digital format because that's how I found it. That's how I bought it. But if you can get it in printed format, I reckon that's a big investment. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful. I would love to see this in printed format. Absolutely.
Beautiful.
So yeah, it's a big book, but that's probably equivalent to three or four books for this week for me. So you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So it's called Brigada.
All right. Cool. We'll keep an eye on. Keep an eye out for that one and a hand out for Batman. So, got to get one more in.
Wow.
That pretty much ends it for reading and watching for this week. But yes. There's a couple of things coming up over the next couple of weeks. The first of all being...
Watch your plugging.
Watch your plugging, definitely.
Watch your plugging.
That's what we're all about. Yes. So, Supernova, which is coming up in April.
Yes.
Excitement
a go-go.
Everything's kind of, I think tickets are all out and everything, so get your tickets for that and jump on board. Plenty of guys in the Artist Alley. There's actually quite a big Artist Alley this year, so if you want to get, you know, on the ground floor with a lot of these guys and check out their work, check out their books, great opportunity to get down there and say g'day and, you know, pick up some commissions and all that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
This is what keeps the local scene thriving, guys. So get down there and support it. Of course, you've got all your celebs going to be down there as well. Get on down there, get a photo.
get a photo of something.
That's what they say. You know, it doesn't have to be of a celeb. It can just be, you know,
of something.
Hamburger.
Of a hamburger?
Yeah.
Very expensive, though.
Well, that's why you should get a photo.
I wish the AFL would try and broker a deal with the cons on getting cheaper food.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was at Foo Fighters Saturday night.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite.
No worries.
Yep.
$7 for a hot dog.
Yep. $7.
It's a sausage in a roll.
Did you get it on lay-by?
No, I just avoided it. Too rich for my blood.
Too rich.
But mind you, the first condiment is free.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the second one, $10.
Is it serious?
No.
Okay. Right.
But yeah, the first one is free, then you pay for more.
Right.
So if you want to go the whole sauce and mustard combo, you're halfway there.
You're halfway.
But
can you do half sauce, half mustard?
They won't allow it.
No.
No, I won't do it.
All
right. You want to
gourmet? Was it gourmet sausage or was it just your usual?
It's like your Don sausage.
It was his Don is good.
His Don is good, you know. I mean, what? You pay maybe $5 for six at the supermarket. Yep. So, really, what's in that bread? What kind of sausage are we talking about
LSD.
Here?
LSD.
Yeah, well. But the one that took the cake, and I'm talking about it because it's a dessert.
Yeah.
4 hot jam donuts.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I reckon $12.
You're close.
$15.
No. It's the other end of the scale.
Oh, it's less than.
Less than $12.
$10.
$10.
$10 for jam donuts. That's $2.50 each.
Jam donut.
Nah.
And I'm, you know,
computer says no.
I'm going to say I don't think they're even big ones. I didn't see them, but I'm going to say they're pretty small.
What do we get at the market? Where do we get those jam donuts? They're like six.
You can get.
Are they like 6 for $6 or something or other? Isn't that something
cheaper? I think you can get 10 for $6.50.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
See, that's how the 10 should work.
So here's the secret then. Next concert, go to the market, buy your hot jam donuts.
You know what? I could go down there and just buy a whole box of them and sell them for $1 each.
Yep.
And I'd still make a killing.
You know what you'll be? You'll be a donut scalper.
I'll be donut scalping. I'll be pirate donut. The donut pirate. Check it out. Future gigs, the donut pirate.
Look out for the donut. He'll be the one wearing the patch and the hook.
I can't guarantee the jam will be hot, but the price will be. Come on down.
Wow.
I'm making a website.
Oh, the donut pirate.
Yeah.
I can see a t-shirt happening there. Arr.
Well, arr. Tis full of jam. But yes, I don't know how we got onto that. But anyway, by the way, Foo Fighters, great concert. Just saying that. But and anything else to plug?
Don't forget too, we'll be doing an article. You'll look out for it soon. Pizza Man. The Supreme Edition.
Mm.
So Damien Shanahan's doing that on Kickstarter.
Yep.
You can check that out on the Kickstarter. We'll have all the details on the watch page as well as on our watcher site.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's gold. That's really cool.
Yeah, I remember when Pizza Man first came out. I mean,
in the anthology.
I just started, you know, going to classic at that point, so I hadn't discovered Minotaur and All Star wasn't around back then. It was Comics R Us.
It's
Michael Davidson. Comics and things.
Comics. We should say that that's not our joke. That was taken for the Rad Lounge. We credit them for that.
We love you guys.
We do. We miss you. So I think that's pretty much it for Watch Blogging. For this week anyway. There's always there's plenty there. But if you do have anything, let us know. We would love to.
We are happy to plug
any events, any new comics, any Kickstarters that you might be having, any websites that are going up and hanging around. We'd love to hear about it. The other one that I'd probably want to mention is Blondesaurus. Funnily enough, I got featured this week with me fooling around in the supermarket with Lucy, my 3-month-old, like Yoda, me holding a lightsaber. Yeah,
sabering up.
Yep. So I got featured on that. So that was a lot of fun. It was a nice surprise for Beck to do that. I was a bit chuffed. But yeah, Blondesaurus, she's pretty rad. She promotes a lot of the stuff that we promote.
Yep.
So you know, comics and movies and stuff like that. Has a love for Jurassic Park and Star Wars, Back to the Future, but at the same time, there's a lot of other things that she has interest in that is pretty rad. But she also runs a website, and she has a store on there.
Okay.
And so she deals with Funkos and those types of things, which is pretty cool also. So Beck is great, and you can check it out. It's blondesaurus.com.au. Go Beck.
Nice.
We love you.
And where could they find you, Nath?
They can find me sitting next to you. Oh, no. Oh. On the... that's Mike's phone.
That's my phone.
Yeah, who is it?
I know. It's actually just died. It turned off. So much for the timer. Oh, my perfect. God. How will we end it?
Oh, no. On a cliffhanger.
Oh, we'll be a cliffhanger.
Talking about cliffhanger, very, very quickly, before we tell everybody where we're from or where we are or what we're doing or whatever.
Sure.
Joe Mad announced this week Battle Chasers.
That's right.
Yeah, do you like the cliffhanger?
Game format.
You know?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Game format and also comic.
Mm.
We've actually written an article on it. It's on our Watcher page and also on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Which you can check out and find out more and actually see some exclusive photos that Joe's actually released. Excuse me. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting stuff. Comic fanboys rejoice. Yes. And girls
always love this stuff.
Yeah, but that's pretty rad, and he's really excited. I think he's even more excited now, the response, because it's been like 15 years since issue 9 was published. And that did leave us on a cliffhanger, so we will see the end of that.
I'm pretty sure I've got that issue.
Yeah, so do I. So, and I'm going to have to tear it out and read it again, I think.
There you go.
But, yeah, you can find me, Nath from Watcher, on Twitter. And you can find Watcher, which is facebook.com/WatcherPodcast, at Watcher Show on Twitter, at Watcher Show on Instagram. And you can find us, watchershow.blogspot.com.au. And Mike...
Well, you can find me at Mickey Toons pretty much all over the web, apart from Instagram, where it's the real Mickey Toons, because I'm just like the Ghostbusters cartoon, quite cool and animated.
And I think that's a great time to end. It really is.
And as always, you can always find Dean as well. It's a Dean Akuri.
It's usually Dean Arcuri. It's Dean Arcuri on Twitter, and you can find M at Emma Beddoes.
There you go. Dr. Emma Beddoes?
No, just Emma Beddoes. Just Emma Beddoes.
All right. So I'm so good at keeping track of this stuff. You can tell.
But we're right on track. So hopefully you've had a good time. We certainly have. If it's
Watch your hot chocolatey.
Watch your hot chocolatey. Watch your high-priced hot dogging.
Oh yeah, or watch your pirating.
I'll give you a hand for that one.
We want to see your jam.
Wow, that's so not the podcast that we are.
Arr.
Thanks very much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
To be sure. Wait, well, why is he Irish?